Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. This week, the World Science Festival has come to town, giving New Yorkers a chance to learn about science firsthand through the eyes of leading scientists, celebrities, and researchers. Now in its fourth year, the festival is expected to attract more than 150,000 people who are eager to understand the latest and greatest advancements in science. And this is no boring one-sided lecture, but a series of interactive events, activities, and even theatrical performances aimed at making science accessible to people of all ages. Joining me here in the studio is the World Science Festival co-founder and Columbia University professor Brian Green. Also joining us is Nobel laureate and physicist Steven Weinberg, the product of a Bronx public high school education, I must add, who will speak about the future of big science tomorrow at the festival. I also want to mention that the festival runs through Sunday with weekend events planned around New York City. Welcome to both of you, and thank you so much for being in studio.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Well, I guess, Brian, I'll start with you. How did you and I guess your co-founder, Tracy Day, come up with the idea of a World Science Festival?
Well, we realized that science is absolutely so vital to our future, all the opportunities we have, all the challenges we face going forward, really across the board, stem cells, genetically modified foods, nuclear proliferation, nanotechnology, all of it's science. To have a democracy, you have to have a populace that's willing to engage with those scientific ideas. But for most of us, science is boring, intimidating, cold, aloof. So we wanted to create a place where people could immerse themselves in science and get it, feel empowered by it, see the drama, the adventure of science, and that's what the festival is all about.
Some of what Barack Obama talked about in his State of the Union.
Absolutely.
But where did you get this idea to mix the arts and science together for the festival?
Well, when you think about science, most of us view it as a completely cognitive enterprise. You're in the classroom and it makes your head hurt. But for us scientists, I mean, Stephen can speak to this too, when you're doing science and something wonderful emerges from your math, your experiment, it's almost an emotional experience. And the way that you can create that emotional experience in the general public is by melding art and science, putting them together so you're not just thinking about science, you're also experiencing it, you're feeling it. In essence, these art-science collaborations provide new avenues of entry into science. Somebody who would run away when they hear science but would go to a theater piece or a dance piece or a music performance, they'll be drawn in through the art and leave with the science.
All right. Well, let me then turn to my Nobel laureate, Steven Weinberg. I'm so honored to just be in the room. I'm glad you're in the studio because it's so much more exciting. Steven Weinberg, you're going to give a special address at the NYU Kimmel Center tomorrow on, quote, the future of big science. So since we have you here, let's get a little preview. What is the future of big science? What does it look like?
I'm awfully worried about that because there has been, just as these wonderful scientific opportunities have been blooming, we've been discovering so many exciting new things, generally support for science has decreased. For example, the National Science Foundation used to accept about 33% of all its applications for research grants. Now it accepts about 23%. And with the anti-tax mania that seems to be gripping the United States, things are getting worse and worse. This particularly hits what I call big science, that is building big accelerators like the 17-mile ring that's just now going into operation in Europe, or putting observatories above in orbit above the Earth's atmosphere. These are things we have to do. We're not doing them because we're in love with bigness. In fact, rather the opposite. But we have to do them in order to make the next step toward what we really want, is putting everything together in a set of laws of nature, simple principles that govern everything in the universe. And we can't make progress without these very expensive projects. And this is a hell of a time to be seeking money. for large scientific projects.
Well, some people might argue, and I think this is what you're suggesting, that we shouldn't be funding science that has no practical applications, that there are more pressing priorities to be considered, healthcare, infrastructure, education. So what do you say to those folks?
Well, I don't want to get into a competition with people who are seeking funds for healthcare or education. I think we need more adequate government support for all these things. And I think all of us who have special concerns, for me it's science, but for other people it may be education, concerns I share, of course, we should unite in trying to keep the level of our civilization up so that our society supports these things rather than, as we see, cutting down on education, cutting down on health care, cutting down even on the number of firemen and policemen in many cities. I think we need a higher level of taxation. And I'm not planning to seek the Republican nomination for president.
All right. Well, I thought you might announce right here.
Yeah, well, this is it. This is an
this
exclusive
is the bus
for
tour.
You.
All right. Well, Brian, back to you. You know, we're talking about government funding, but we're really here to talk about the festival. And I guess you believe that the general public benefits from the festival because it advances science and somehow that'll increase awareness about the importance of it. And then, you know, that makes its way back into the political process at the grassroots level.
It certainly does. I mean, if you view science, as many people do, as way out on the cultural outskirts, as something that doesn't really play a vital part in your life, then your impetus to have it supported in a big way is not that strong. But if you see science as really front and center, as something that is as important to a full life as anything else, as film, as theater, as drama, as narrative, of any of these things that we would never do away with, then the support for science naturally will grow. And that is part of what this festival can accomplish.
You know, it's interesting. I have two children who love science. And so my interest in science has been reinvigorated. And it just seems to me everybody must love science. But in talking with you gentlemen, I think maybe I have a skewed view that perhaps the awareness of science and the love of science that I perceive is out there is perhaps not out there as much as it should be.
It's
in our schools, in our community, that we need more of these festivals.
It's certainly not unanimous, but there are a lot of people out there like you who are sincerely interested in science and do things like buy books by Brian Greene.
Or by Stephen Weinberg.
Well, they
nice,
occasionally
nice
buy
plug.
Online. And thank you. Congressman Nadler, who represents this part of Manhattan, gave an eloquent speech on the floor of the House of Representatives in favor of a previous large scientific project called the Superconducting Supercollider. This was back in the 90s.
20 years ago, right?
Yes, and not because building an accelerator in Texas is going to bring much immediate benefit to the citizens of Manhattan in the form of jobs, but because he's sincerely interested in science. He knows that it's an essential part of our civilization to continue the process of finding out why things are the way they are.
I remember that project. It had that very cool name, so it sticks with you, Superconducting Super Collider. What happened to that?
It's now a tunnel, a third of a tunnel, filling up with water in Ellis County, Texas. If it was New York, I suppose they might use it for rapid transit, but there really isn't much need for rapid transit between Waxahachie and Maypearl.
And that's a $1 billion tunnel, right?
Yes. Well, the tunnel, the project had cost over $1 billion. It would have reached energies three times the energies that are now being planned at the large accelerator in Europe. We would already have the answers to a lot of the fundamental questions that the accelerator in Europe is going to answer, like questions like where do elementary particles get their mass? Why do things weigh something rather than nothing? But it was canceled in a vote of idiocy in the House of Representatives.
Now speak your mind. 1993. Don't hold back. I raise the young people because it seems to me that maybe it's through young people that we can enliven our love and appreciation of sciences, and perhaps that is part of the reason this festival is here again.
Yeah, I mean,
for its fourth.
It's absolutely right. You know, I think we all actually begin life as little scientists. We always are banging things together when we're young, trying to figure out what they're made of. And school does a fantastic job of crushing out that interest in science by virtue of how we often teach science in the classroom. A lot of rote memorization, facts you have to spit out on an exam, and that's not what science is. Science is the drama of discovery. So like Saturday on Governor's Island, we've got a whole day of science activities for kids. Go to Governor's Island, and all across that island there'll be bird watching, there'll be vision looking at the sun with special filters, there'll be searching for oysters, looking at plant life, how kites fly on Governor's Island. And then Sunday at Washington Square Park, another full day of science for kids and families, taking over that park with all sorts of activities. So it's a real place.
Hands-on.
Yeah, where you can connect and reconnect with the wonders of science.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer on WMYC. Here with me in the studio, World Science Festival co-founder Brian Green and Nobel laureate Steven Weinberg. And I have to ask you about one big science story that's right under our noses. We may not even realize it. The space shuttle program, which is about to come to an end. And in fact, the space shuttle Endeavour, which just returned to Earth on Wednesday, completing its last mission into space. What do you think we learned from that program? And what is the impact on science now that it's coming to an end?
I think that it's a good thing the shuttle program is coming to an end. The whole manned space flight program has been exciting to some people, but it has nothing to do with the progress of science. Actually, the Endeavour shuttle, for the first time, carried up to the International Space Station an experiment that will do real science. But this is something that will study cosmic rays using some of the techniques of elementary particle experimenters. But even for this experiment, it could have been an unmanned observatory. It would have been a lot cheaper, would have gone up a lot sooner, and because human beings play no role in its operation. So if in fact the Obama administration is de-emphasizing manned spaceflight with the end of the shuttle program and the cancellation of President Bush's Constellation program, then I cheer that. I think that's the end of a very large waste of money.
All right. I hope someone's listening there in Washington. They can podcast us from Washington, D.C. And Brian Green, you have promised. Ready? When you make a promise.
Did I make a promise? Yes,
you did. 5 mind-blowing scientific facts to be revealed at the festival. Can you give us a little hint?
That's funny. I don't recall making that promise, but I'm happy to give it a shot.
The first person who will live 1,000 years.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
so we have a program on. That's right. We have a program on longevity where there is.
We did
one,
our research on what
well,
we're going.
It's very controversial, but there is one researcher who does claim that
come
we'll
on.
Be on. You know, Aubrey de Grey. Yes. It's very controversial. I don't believe it. Many people don't. But that is one thing that's being discussed. A program that we had last night was on dark matter and dark energy, which discussed how 96% of the universe is unseen, the stuff of which we're made, electrons and protons and neutrons. That makes up a mere 4% of what's out there, which is a kind of crazy and wild idea. We'll have a wonderful program tomorrow with Pat Metheny, the jazz guitarist, where he will be improvising on stage, which is what he's known for, 18 Grammy Awards, and there'll be a team of neuroscientists discussing with him what's going on in the brain during that creative process.
That connection between science and music is just fascinating. And I do want to remind people that the festival runs through Sunday with weekend events planned around New York City. I have to ask Steven Weinberg one final question. You are the product of a Bronx public high school education, graduating in 1950. And as I've said a couple of times, you did go on to win the Nobel Prize. What do you think of public education in science today?
Well, unfortunately, I don't know much about the level of high school education. The students that we get as undergraduates, who I do teach at the University of Texas, seem pretty badly prepared. I teach a course, for example, in the history of science, to freshman every other term. And many of them have taken physics. Many of them have taken calculus, but they're incapable of using it. I don't know. I think high schools are very good at teaching people to pass high school examinations. And somehow or other, we have to start all over again in college. I don't know what to do about it. If I were made the czar of, if I were made Secretary of Education, I think I would not know how to begin. I have no ideas on how to improve that.
Be careful what you wish for.
But, I certainly benefited from the education I got in the New York City schools. But I have to say, even there, those of us who went to Bronx Science in the late 1940s, that was a time when calculus was not offered, and we had to learn it ourselves. And I would say to, not to educators, but to students, to high school students, don't rely on your high school to teach you science or mathematics. Take some control of your own education. Get books of your own and start learning the subject yourself.
And attend the World Science Fair. There you go. Festival. not least, the World Science Festival through this weekend. Gentlemen, I can't thank you enough for coming in. Brian Green and Stephen Weinberg for joining us today in studio at WNYC. To learn more about this weekend's events at the World Science Festival, visit the website at theworldsciencefestival.com. I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, another Follow-Up Friday segment.